Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to the Marvelicious Year in Review for 2014 and a look ahead to 2015. This is Marjorie.
This is Arnie.
And this is Justin.
And we have joining us some very special guests for this Year in Review. Starting off, we have the webmaster and writer of Marvel Toy News, the coolest Marvel toy blog on the planet, DaBeed.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever gotten a cool introduction like that before. That was really neat. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
And next up, we have joining us once again, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm glad to be here.
And then one of our video editors, Barrent.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back. It's Master Collect 'Em All from the forums, and I'm ready to talk some toys for 2014.
And then our superhero Funtime segment host, photo editor extraordinaire, and all-around fun guy to drink with, Jeff.
Now I'm podcasting. Y'all happy? We're all podcasting now. Bunch of jackasses podcasting in a circle.
Well, that is a perfect intro to this, the first of our two-part mega special gala issue of Marvelicious Toys, looking back at 2014 and really looking at the movies. There are so many movies that came out this year for Marvel. It's absolutely nuts. And I just want to go through, and this is like a Rorschach test. Just first word that comes to mind, what was your favorite Marvel movie of this year? Justin.
Guardians.
Jeff.
Captain America 2.
DaBeed.
Guardians.
Chris.
Guardians.
Barrent.
X-Men, Days of Future Past.
Marjorie.
Winter Soldier.
I'm going to have to go Winter Soldier as well. I almost said Amazing Spider-Man 2 just to kind of mix it up.
No one thinks that was a good movie.
I forgot that was a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at what we have. We got one X-Men and a number of Guardians of the Galaxies, a number of Captain America the Winter Soldiers. No one, not even our big Disney fan Chris, said Big Hero 6.
I haven't even seen Big Hero 6.
No, it's okay. No one else did either.
Truthfully, that is no Frozen. I think Disney might be a little disappointed. I looked. That has, as of this recording, grossed a little bit more than Bolt.
Ooh.
So all that talk about the Big Hero 6 sequel, maybe direct to video. But man, just such a great year for movies. And we started off with Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and all those toys. I mean, Captain America kind of competed with Spider-Man. It's hard to believe it was just about a year ago that I made this mad dash drive to St. Louis to load up a cart with pre-release DCPI revealed Marvel Legends for Cap and Spider-Man.
Do you remember at this point which one showed up first? I know they're pretty close in street date, but I feel like Spider-Man showed up first, right?
I think it was Spider-Man.
The one that I went to, they're actually simultaneous. And this was about 2 days after Christmas. They had both of them.
Wow.
So there.
Definitive.
Yeah, I remember saying that it seemed really early. And the fact that those figures are still on the pegs a year later, admittedly, still some hard to find ones. But Captain America, just kind of going around, what were some of your favorite collectibles from that movie?
I didn't get the actual full-on walleted version that you guys did at whatever convention was, but I really liked the free shield badge that the Cafe Press offered. That was pretty awesome. I still carry that in my wallet. But as far as collectibles, it's pretty much still the Hasbro action figures, the Legends.
For me, it was the Funkos, because we finally got a Funko Pop Black Widow, something that we didn't even get for the Avengers movie. So that was really neat. And I like that we got Winter Soldier both with and without the mask. The Black Widow, the Gentle Giant gave us, the quarter scale one that just came out was fantastic. Diamond Select's Falcon was great, even if it was too big to fit in with the Marvel Legends. And from Hot Toys, we haven't actually gotten Captain America yet, other than the Golden Age exclusive. But the Black Widow we got was pretty good, and the Winter Soldier is great.
Yeah, quite a bit on there. The Gentle Giant quarter scale Black Widow, we reviewed that last show. I think the likeness is great. I like the pose, but that base, it makes me wish Sideshow had done it as a premium format instead.
Those bases seem to be a problem for you lately.
This one's just not very attractive. It's clear acrylic.
It's like they used the base intended for Dazzler instead of, you know, Black Widow.
Yes, it would have been great for Dazzler.
We'll get into that figure a little bit more. Chris, what were some of your favorite Winter Soldier items?
For me, I got to go with Hasbro. The Legends were probably my favorite. Although I didn't get it, I did think that Diamond Select did an awesome job on that Falcon. Just doesn't fit in with what I collect and size-wise. And the Funkos, they tempted me. I didn't go in on those. I'm not all in. I kind of pick and choose. But those are the three that kind of stand out in my mind.
Barrett, how about you?
You know, I usually stick with the Hasbro stuff. Of course, I picked up a couple of the Legends figures. The Black Widow I had to have. She was very hard to find at first. And people were paying high amounts of money. You know, I did like that Falcon that Diamond Select put out. I wasn't able to find it, though. Usually, I'm able to find anything I want at the Disney stores when it comes to Diamond Select and figures like that. But, you know, I have to have my hands on things. So I don't like waiting for a Sideshow. I don't like waiting for Hot Toys. You know, I like to have it when I want it.
That's your famous long game.
It's the long game. I don't like playing the long game. My long game is pre-ordering and getting it as soon as possible. But having those Marvel Legends figures in hand, it's pretty cool. So that's basically what I stuck with.
Well, everybody kind of took my thunder, which obviously is the Legends. But you know what? We didn't talk. Nobody said anything about the 3 3/4 inch figures. I think that's probably for a pretty good reason, right? I mean, just thinking back on them, that was a pretty lame line. But we did get a couple cool guys out of there, like Falcon in that scale was pretty sweet. And that updated Red Skull was pretty good, too. But the one thing that I did not buy that almost made me break my rule on Hot Toys was that Winter Soldier figure. Now, usually I don't get the human characters. I go for armored people, but I came real close to pulling the trigger on him.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question that Arnie had to order that. And the question of where it's going to live is now when it comes in.
I should have ordered two, you're saying.
I already have my own Hot Toy. I could have another one. But that was an awesome movie. I think that the Marvel Legends were amazing. And I think that the Winter Soldier and that was great. And I thought the Red Skull was great. I really did love the Funkos. Those were fantastic. I love all Funkos. Those are super cute. But I think the best thing, well, actually two best things. One, I got a Rock and Winter Soldier tattoo, that's still collectible, right?
I guess it counts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But there is a lack of Winter Soldier merchandise for Winter Soldier himself. There's like one cheesy t-shirt with like black eyes and the red star.
There's like 18 hoodies, one of which you own.
I own the hoodie. Yes, I love the hoodie that Reed Pop put out at C2E2. It's $80 hoodie, but it's got the nice silver quilted arm. It's great. It's just like Winter Soldier. But that is the only Winter Soldier item I found that was decent. The t-shirt is stupid, and I can't find any other Winter Soldier stuff.
I think my favorite item that we've gotten from Captain America, there's a lot of Hot Toys, you know, on the way. But the favorite thing I actually got was that Diamond Select Falcon figure. And that one was hard, Barrett. I remember having trouble. I should have pre-ordered online, but those things usually cost quite a bit in shipping. I tried to get Amazon to ship them with free Prime shipping. They didn't have it. Eventually, on Free Comic Book Day back in May, we hit like a whole bunch of stores in St. Louis and finally found one store that had one Falcon left.
Where did you find it?
It was a store called Slackers.
Oh, usually my Disney store out here, you know, they opened up a Disney store in the mall here where I live, and people are not hip to the Disney store yet out here. And I'm usually able to find everything, and I was not able to find that figure. I would have picked up a couple of those things.
The one that I did see wasn't at a Disney store. It was at a local comic book shop here, too. I did not see any of those at the Disney store, which now my mall that we had a Disney store at no longer has one.
Yeah, Disney's been getting a lot of those figures and a lot of exclusives too, some redos there. But you're right, I never saw Falcon there. And I just wonder if he shipped in low numbers.
Does it bother anybody else that his wings are so stagnant though? Like for such an otherwise great figure, he needs to be dinged a little bit for either having his wings on and out or off and not displayed. I would love the hinge there.
That's probably a cost thing, because I remember back when I first started collecting Marvel Selects, one of the first ones that I got was Ultimates Hulk. And that one was like, you know, molded all in black, painted gray for the skin, but he was completely hollow. It was just bizarre. I mean, you pick him up and you figure, you pick up a Hulk figure now and, you know, you can knock down employees with them. But this one, it was like one of those chocolate bunnies, just had no weight to it at all. So I'm wondering if maybe since they had to make those wings considered like an extra accessory, they just went the cheapest way they could.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. But like you said, look at some of those other bigger figures. Look at Abomination. He's solid. And if he costs $22 and Falcon costs $22, maybe it's not a weight thing, you know?
You're also, there's like 4 years difference in between those two figures.
Yeah, true.
Don't you two shoot down my idea with logic.
No, but Justin makes a great point. You would think they would put some sort of hinge in there, you know, at all, because they have to know by this point that these figures, you know, a lot of kids are maybe not collecting these figures that are costing $20, $30, that it's going to be for the adult collector, and that we're going to find, we want some way to display it. And with those wings just kind of jutting out at the side at all times, if you want to display it that way, which I assume most people do because it looks really cool, that they would put a hinge on there. So you would have that option to even have some sort of dynamic pose if you get a stand or something like that. So I think that was a miss with Diamond Select on such a really detailed and great figure.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it makes it a bad figure. I'm saying it takes it from being an incredibly awesome must-own figure to simply a great, probably should try to get it figure.
Well, like you mentioned, the 3 3/4 inch figure of that was not bad either. There wasn't a whole lot of wing articulation, but that was one of the figures I had the most fun this entire year photographing, finding a couple of guns to put in his hands and getting some good poses out of that. I mean, there's a lot of display options with that widely neglected 3 3/4 inch line. I was all in on the 3 3/4 inch line, and I do not regret it. Yes, I may have some silly Captain America repaint jobs, but that Winter Soldier and Falcon, I mean, those later ones were kind of harder to find, but well worth the hunt.
Yeah, Falcon and the first Avenger costume, the helmeted version that was originally a holdover from 2012's Avengers line, those were the only two of the line that I bought. And I was damn glad to have them. They're great figures. The rest, not so much.
What, you don't like the Captain America with the shield that, like, spring-loaded and shoots?
If it was the kind of shield that was on a plunger and you press the plunger with your thumb and it made it spin around and shoot sparks out, that would be cool. But it's not that.
I just couldn't get past the childbearing hips on that figure.
Well, what about Amazing Spider-Man 2? We all kind of glossed over that movie and laughed at it, but there's no doubt because of that movie, we got some pretty kick-ass Legends figures, and some of which really skyrocketed on the secondary market. I mean, the Build-A-Goblin wave was a really awesome wave of figures there.
That was a great wave, I thought. I remember driving in a snowstorm to try and track down the DPCI and drive into a store that was like 20 miles away in the snowstorm so I could get them all. But yeah, I think that Spider-Man figure, the Amazing Spider-Man figure, one of the best figures they've done with the articulation on it.
I'm just personally a little bit Spider-Man'd out. I feel like I haven't had a chance to miss Spider-Man over the last 15 years. He's just always there. So I feel like otherwise good figures that should have excited me just didn't, because it was like, oh, yay, another Spider-Man.
Yeah, there were Spider-Man, but when did we ever get, you know, the Arana Spider-Woman or a Black Cat Legends figure and Beetle?
Oh, yeah, I'm not dinging the whole line.
That Carnage was just amazing, and Toxin wasn't bad.
Toxin was a miss.
Well, he wasn't as good as Toy Biz.
No. But you know what? This is the line that also came back to life over the middle of summer and brought us Agent Venom. And I know, Arnie, you complained about the paint apps on the one that you found, but I really like that figure. I think it's a great addition to that line.
I need to clarify, not the ones I found. I have searched 5 states. I found 100 Agent Venoms. 100% of them are badly painted.
I have to go with Arnie on that. I have not bought one yet because I'm trying to find one that's halfway decent with a paint job, and I cannot find one that I'm happy to spend the money on to buy with a good paint job.
You're not going to find one. That's the problem. I sat there at Walgreens and went through the 6 they put out, and every single one of them was crap. And then I went to all the different Walgreens in town, and I found the best of the lot, but they were all terrible.
In California, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Missouri, and Illinois, and New York. I couldn't find a good one.
I don't know. Maybe you guys are seeing it wrong. I guess I didn't see anything so wrong with any of them that they were unbuyable.
Well, I like to think that on Agent Venom, it's not actually sloppily painted, and that the symbiote, because it's alive, the molecules of the symbiote are constantly like in motion, moving around. So where we think that there's a black slop on the white or white slop on the black, it's actually just parts of the symbiote moving around over the other paint apps.
Damn it, he makes sense.
Wow.
Isn't that exactly what I said? I said that word for word.
Hunter PR could not have spun this bad paint app better.
He's convinced me. I want my dollar back.
Give that man a no prize.
I agree, for the record.
Can I get a no prize? Do they still give those out?
Now, I will admit that where I was spidered out was that Spider Strike series. The 3¾-inch figures that were $12 a figure for a 3¾-inch figure on like a 2-pack bubble.
What, you didn't like Metal Gear Solid Winged Spider-Man?
You know, they actually got kind of cool by the end, though, when they did a Goblin figure, but you'll never see them in stores. I had to order them online for like $22. But all the ridiculous web-wing Spider-Man, I'm wearing a mask Spider-Man, trying to be a wasp Spider-Man.
And, you know, they came out with the Electro figure, and you would hope that that Electro figure was going to be awesome. But I'm willing to bet that Jamie Foxx's Annie action figure is going to be a lot better than that Electro figure that came out.
It's still better than that DVD Blu-ray head. There's so
head. That's so scary.
Special guest star John Malkovich.
But I will say, though, there was one Spider-Man that really impressed me, and that's the Figma one with all the different accessories and the hands. That thing arrived just a few weeks ago. It's singularly the best Amazing Spider-Man 2 collectible I've got. I mean, it also helps that it just could be a really awesome Spider-Man. There's not a whole lot that makes it movie specific.
Yeah, I mean, going from the non-articulated Hasbro toys to the Figma hyper-articulated one is quite a leap, but I remember the ankles on that one standing out to me a little bit. Jeff, is that a Figma issue? Because I don't see that on SH Figure Arts figures as much.
It's a Japan issue. It's basically whatever it takes to get an aesthetic across, which is why you see so many figures in solicitations posed with like their pelvis stuck way the front out and they're sort of leaning back. You know, it's kind of a, I'm doing that pose right now as I'm describing it to you.
I was telling you, it's like really leaning away from the microphone.
The color is a little off, right? On that figure, it's just not, it's not right.
It looks really good in person, I think.
Because the pictures, I don't think, do it justice. And I didn't buy it. But, I mean, the figure is awesome. I mean, you can put it in basically any pose that you want to. You can recreate any scene. And if you get one of the stands to pose with it, I mean, it could be any comic book cover, any scene in the movie. So I may end up picking that one up.
Now, Arnie, you ended up getting the deluxe one, right? With the backdrop and the, you know, the sort of like wall kind of stand.
Yeah, I thought that was a really nice setup. I liked having the deluxe figure with the extra displays. Did anyone but me go in for the Hot Toys?
There were some.
Well, they did Electro.
Oh, that's right.
And they did the Spider-Man.
And we're getting to your favorite.
The no-show Rhino.
Would anyone on this call even consider buying a Hot Toys Rhino from that movie? I just need to know if anybody would.
Let me put it this way. I'd be disappointed if I won it.
I'll be like the one voice of just disreason and say that I would buy a figure of that Rhino, but not a Hot Toys one.
See, I don't think it looks that bad. It kind of looks like Iron Man Rhino. I would go for a figure, but with Hot Toys prices, I mean, you have to be very selective with those. And it just kind of looks like maybe a pregnant Iron Man Rhino.
It does look just a lot like the Ironmonger Rhino. I mean, there's more than a passing similarity.
I bought the Spider-Man Hot Toys, and I had ordered the Electro, and then I watched the movie again, and then I canceled the Electro. And Rhino, absolutely not on the radar, not at all. I can't do it. I don't think I would buy anything else Hot Toys made from that movie. Maybe an Emma Stone Gwen Stacy, but that would probably be it.
Green Goblin?
I would buy Dane DeHaan as Harry Osborn, not as Green Goblin. Unfortunately, his transformation to Green Goblin kind of ruined that movie for me.
You mean Hot Topic Goblin?
You know, I will be the lone defender of that movie and say it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that good.
I loved the score to it. I loved the electro music. I liked the fight in Times Square with the spider sense scene. Yeah, the rhino and the goblin. Yeah, but still.
It just goes back to, we haven't had a chance to miss Spider-Man enough for not that bad to be the bar for it to clear.
Well, I traumatized my wife with that movie because she said she did not want to go see Amazing Spider-Man 2. And she said, I'm pretty sure that Gwen Stacy's going to die and I don't want to see that. And I was like, no, she's not going to die. Like, they show her falling in all of the trailers. There's no way that she'll die. Like, it'll be fine. And then we went to see the movie and she dies. My wife was just sticking her fingers like into my arm the whole time. And she's like, I'm never going to trust you again with a movie.
Had you never read the comics?
I had read the comics, but I was hoping that this was going to be the world where Gwen was going to live.
Did we ever come up with a definitive way she did die, by the way? Was it the snapping of the neck, or did she actually hit her head, or was it both?
No, her heart broke halfway down and she lost the will to live.
Well, from there, we move on to X-Men, Days of Future Past, Baron's favorite movie of the year. Clearly a contender for me. I like that one a lot. It's no X-Men First Class, but Days of Future Past was really good. And we got so few collectibles from that. They released one hot toy for pre-order, Wolverine, because, you know, we don't have him in Hot Toys or anything. He's not, like, on clearance over the holiday season at Sideshow or anything.
Man, I was so excited about this movie and about the possibilities of the toys that we could get. I mean, we have so many heroes in that movie. We have the old heroes and we have the new heroes that are going to be taking on the movies forward. I thought maybe we'd get a nice kick-ass Colossus or a Bishop or something like that. And again, where are the toys for this movie? It was such a missed opportunity. Like you said, if you wanted a Wolverine, you'd have a Wolverine by now. You know, maybe I wanted a Professor X in a floating chair, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah, this was a chance for Hasbro to go old school on this. We could have gotten two distinct different Sentinels. We could have the old-timey ones and the future ones. They could have been Build-A-Figures in Legends, just like they used to do.
Was there a reason that Hasbro didn't touch this?
I don't believe that Disney would like for Hasbro to be promoting the X-Men movie just because Fox holds that license and not Disney, so they don't want to have that merch coming out. They prefer for it to be comic-based merch. It's sort of why for this year, Funko didn't make us any Days of Future Past pop vinyls. We're getting classic X-Men instead. Somehow Diamond Select was able to get out that Minimate set, so if you want that floating Xavier, there is a little floating Xavier who's old and a young Xavier in a wheelchair.
The biggest frustration of the year for me for collecting Marvel is that Jennifer Lawrence nixed that Diamond Select Mystique. She personally killed it.
But then she went ahead and took all those photos, so it worked out all right in the end.
That was a make good on her part.
But yeah, DeBede's reading the same things I am. And again, we talked to one guy back when X-Men First Class came out. That was 2011. And this is when it was just the new strategy, because I loved the Wolverine 3¾-inch Hasbro figures. That was part of the reason I started buying Hasbro figures, is they did Wolverine, they did Iron Man 2, just kind of assumed they'd keep going forward. But talking to the Marvel rep at Toy Fair, yes, we'll release X-Men First Class figures. Our first class. That is an exact quote that I will never forget. And what did they do? Comic 2-packs.
Yeah, and this time they gave us that Marvel Legends Toys R Us pack.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which was really just the all-new X-Men from the Bendis run. It had nothing to do with the movie. Now, you know we got Dwight Stahl at Hasbro, who's at least trying to piggyback onto the movies and saying, we need to release X-Men Legends. If it wasn't for Dwight, I don't think we'd even have the X-Men Legends we have. And that was a good wave with Storm and Magneto and, yeah, another Wolverine. I mean, I'm as tired as Wolverine as Justin seems to be of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that wave. It was the wave that came out of nowhere and then ended up on ToysRUs.com and then was gone and maybe shipped and kind of shipped. Oh, that was a headache. You're bringing up bad memories, Arnie.
That all happened so fast. It was here, it was gone. It's a shame. There was some good figures in there that they didn't get all of the figures out. I kind of feel equally because, I mean, I can go to Toys R Us and still find you a Wolverine or a Cyclops. But the rest of those figures, man, they were gone. I've never seen a Storm in the store.
I would have picked up that Storm. That Storm was a really good figure in the pictures, but I have not seen that figure at all as well. And I'm not willing to pay the eBay prices for Storm.
No, and I tell you what, I usually have a chance at seeing most everything, even hard to find stuff I end up bumping around. But Storm is one that I never saw. Arnie had to help me out with that one.
Well, I'm just going to take this moment to promote our sponsor, Dorkside Toys, and say you all should have gone there. Because that's what I did, and I had my waves shipped from them, and for months after, nobody could find them. You could get the entire wave for $120 straight from Dorkside Toys. They have fast shipping, secure shipping. I got mine in great condition, and when you do see those eBay prices of Storm going for 40 or 60 on eBay, or you can get this whole wave with a build a Jubilee, Dorkside Toys is a merchant that you guys should have considered. And that's one to grow on.
You know, that wave came and went so fast for me. I don't even know what Storm looks like. Does she have the mohawk?
She has the mohawk, yes. The mohawk and the cape that's attached to her hands, her wrists. It's awesome.
See, I was upset about never seeing Magneto, but thanks, Baron. Thanks a lot. Way to kick me when I'm down.
The Magneto figure was pretty good. Jerry was able to help me out with the Magneto, but I was really happy to get that one because that was one of the ones I'd wanted. I wasn't going to pay Toy Biz prices to go back and get the Magneto from that line. So I was really happy to get that one.
You know, I've seen Strife a number of times too, but I just don't feel right buying a Strife figure before having a Cable figure. I don't know. It's some weird thing with me.
I don't know. Strife was a good figure. I mean, all new sculpt and everything. That's one that you should pick up if you see him.
Yeah, but it's like if you get him first, it's like he's already won. You
know? Well, he's good. He's a good. He's a good figure, except for that sword.
Yeah, the cocktail spear.
It won't stay in his hand for anything. I've got him displayed without the thing because he just can't hold it for anything.
Oh, so he suffers from Baron Zemo syndrome.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I never actually saw Storm and Magneto myself at Toys R Us, which is sort of weird because I go to Toys R Us about 5 days out of 7 during the week. But one of my readers wrote that I was having trouble and was like, would you like me to pick these up for you? Because I've got some extras, cost plus shipping. And so I ended up having the whole set. I was very grateful for that because I was finally able to build my Marvel Legends Jubilee figure that I've been wanting since they started Marvel Legends. And she was okay. And I'm glad to finally have her. She's not the best, but I was happy to finally get her. And I think it's sort of unfortunate that so few people are not going to be able to complete their Jubilee because her body came with Storm, who no one's been able to find.
Yeah, that was one of the weirdest build-a-figure configurations I think I remember in the history of Marvel Legends. It was like, okay, here's a head, and here's an arm, and another arm, and then here's the rest of it. Just throw with that one.
Hasbro's doing those full cases. Maybe they should do a full case of Storm.
Yeah, but this is an exclusive wave, so now we just got to kind of sit back and wait for the repacks, and because they're X-Men, probably not going to happen.
True.
Do you think if they would have given us a different character for the Build-A-Figure that you would be willing to pay the higher prices on eBay?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll just say it. I did pay the higher prices on eBay just to get one with a good paint app. I had trouble getting a good Storm, but I think that's just Hasbro.
Well, I was going to say, is it bad paint or is Arnie picky?
When there's gold paint all over the rest of her outfits.
Yeah, all right.
I think it's the symbiote that
and then Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, the number one film of the year, the biggest splash, the thing that I will happily admit I was wrong. I thought this could be Marvel's first misstep. How wrong I was.
No, it's going to be Winter Pam. Marvel's bus people.
Hands down, I would say that this was the best Marvel Legends assortment out there with the best Build-A-Figure out there. Hands down. I mean, the figures are very detailed. Rocket Raccoon is awesome. I mean, Drax the Destroyer is awesome. I remember you speaking about that when you guys first did a review on just the detail and how you just could not take a bad picture. And look how awesome Groot is. I mean, who would have thought that this was going to be the best toy line out there? In my opinion, it was.
This is where Hasbro put their eggs in the basket, right here, because every figure in this wave was a brand new figure, with the exception of maybe the Iron Man that was somewhat of a repaint. But man, they knocked it out of the park on that entire wave.
I actually had some notes that I had written for this show, and one of the things I had is exactly what Barrett said. This is the best Build-A-Figure they've done this year, and that Build-A-Figure made me get that whole wave. I was dead set against not getting that Iron Man, and I did because, you know, I wanted to build that Groot, and that Groot is a fantastic figure, and the rest of those figures are really good, too. I think Drax, really well done. The only one I would ding a little bit is the Rocket because I think he could have used a little bit more articulation. But overall, it's great. And then you set them up together. Fantastic.
They're all in scale. They all look like their movie counterparts. I mean, you can't go wrong with these figures.
Wonderful set. It was because it had Rocket Raccoon in it. It was always going to be my favorite set of the year for Marvel Legends. And it was. And how great was it that Amazon had the pre-orders for these first? And they were all pretty readily available for a couple of days. So unlike the X-Men Legends and the Spider-Man Legends and the Captain America Legends, where we had to hunt around for the rare figures, these were also easy to get.
I thought these were fantastic. And what's funny is I was like all Rocket Raccoon going into this movie because, hello, he's a raccoon and he's freaking adorable and wonderful. And he has so much little impotent anger. But Groot stole the show. And I think the Groot Legends figure was amazing.
I first learned about Build-A-Figures when it was Build-A-Galactus and Build-A-Sentinel back with Toy Biz, and it put me in the mindset that a Build-A-Figure should be huge. You should be building something you can't sell. So when you give me a Build-A-Jubilee, I feel a little bit ripped off. I feel like that should just be a figure. What am I really building here? It's just, you're costing it out. It doesn't feel the same as when I'm building something big. And with the Goblin from the Spider-Man line, with the Mandroid from the Winter Soldier line, and with Groot, Groot felt big enough to justify a Build-A-Figure. I mean, each of those legs were as tall as the figures that they were packed in with.
Yeah, what does he sit, like 8 or 9 inches high?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm going to say, though, the Legends line disappoints me in a few ways. And it's, I guess, the best way to be disappointed, but they played it too safe. I mean, Justin, I think it was you who said they put all their eggs in this basket. I disagree. They did one wave. And where's my Hondo figure? Where's my Ronin figure? Where's my Build-A-Thanos? They needed to go more. Nebula. They needed to have a second wave of this ready, and they would sell. I had to go buy that stinking twisty waist hammer throw figure to get a Ronin out of this line. You know what I'm talking about, that line we're all embarrassed to admit we know?
$12.99 that could have gone towards a Legend.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's my one big gripe here, is that we didn't get more. It's just, movies just ripe with more characters. I would even have taken a John C. Reilly figure. How awesome would that been?
Come on, you know you want a Glenn Close to boil a bunny somewhere in your collection. There's just so many great characters in that movie, and they could have done some, and you just look at the ones with the movie counterparts, and I would have even gone with a variant Rocket in his Nova Corps outfit, you know? Throw him in the second wave as a cheap repaint. Build a Thanos. You reuse Gamora's body or some of it for a Nebula. That's where I'm disappointed, is that it takes too long to develop figures. And by the time they realized they had a smash hit on their hands, we got what we got. I love what we got, but I would like to expand that roster.
You know, what disappointed me was that they had so many great starships in that movie, and we did not get one ship.
Oh, we got all the ships, Barrett. Every single ship. Lego, first of all, did an amazing job. But Hasbro brought out all those ships. They were never going to make a ship for the Legends line. That's not what the Legends line is. But we got them in this new scale? 2.5 inches?
Right.
I bought them all. I bought all the 2-packs. I bought all the vehicles. They're okay vehicles. The figures are a little bit funny. Did anybody else go in on those? Justin, you bought a couple, didn't you?
Yeah, I bought a handful. And you know what? If I was 6, 7 years old, I'd be more than happy with these figures. But it's the vehicles that you're buying them for. And I think, I mean, at that scale, they look pretty good. I think they even made one up. Like, Rocket's ship is not in the movie, is it?
It's the Warbird that he flew at the end.
No, but there's another one that looks kind of like a mix between the Milano, but it's got an extra set of wings under it.
That is Rocket's Warbird, and it is in the movie, but it doesn't have the lower wings. That's the one ship that I bought. When you buy it, you take it out, and the lower wings attach onto the ship. So if you don't attach those lower wings, then you have what he flew in the movie.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to be taking some lower wings off of mine then.
what scale is that? What scale is that? Is it
they're,
2 inches?
2 inch scale, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, see, the thing is, and I'll do my best to do, you know, defend them in some way. Yeah, the articulation sucks, but the sculpted detail is pretty damn impressive considering how small these are. Granted, I only bought one pack. I bought Star-Lord and Ronin. But I mean, you look at the texture on the back of those, I'll call them coattails or whatever they are on the back of Ronin. I mean, there's like grid work, crosshatching. I mean, there's so much sculpted into there. It's a shame that they couldn't have done it in a scale twice as big. And they certainly were not worth $10 when Toys R Us when they first came out. They were $10 there, and then over time they, you know, shifted them down to $6.
I bought them all. I'm all in for Guardians, so I bought them all, and I opened the set with Groot and Rocket, and then I put the rest in the closet. I don't think that these worked out as well as they could have. I understand that they needed to do them this small in order to do the ships, but even if the ships were going to be more expensive or out of scale to do them in the 3-inch, 3 3/4-inch scale, I would prefer that. The articulation here just didn't work out for me. So I have them all, but I don't really like them. I do like that we got a Ronin and a Korath in this scale. And I like all the ships and the Nova Corpsmen, but that's about it.
I can see what they were trying to do. You could imagine being in that meeting where, you know, they have to be more cost effective and the scale is going to be scaled down so they can give us more ships. But I would have wished the decision would have went the other way and give us 1 or 2 3 3/4-inch scale ships that were just awesome instead of sacrificing the articulation and the collectability.
I'll completely agree with you in one regard, Baron. I'm fine with them doing all the ships in the smaller scale and not having ships that interact with figures, but I am legitimately upset. Collector world problems here, but that there are no 3 3/4-inch Guardians. I started off at least primarily a 3 3/4-inch Marvel collector. All my Marvel Universe figures, my Infinite Series, my Iron Man 2 crazy Hall of Armor there where they did the house party protocol before it even was a thing. All of those figures, I like having my movie based 3 3/4-inch figures. It's why I bought Spider Strike figures, even though they are terrible figures. It's to keep going with that 3 3/4-inch line. And why can't I have these figures in a 3 3/4-inch scale? Even put out the 5 POA ones, the POA POSs, do that. But to say we're not doing 3 3/4-inch at all, it tells me that as a 3 3/4-inch collector, I'm a dinosaur and I just need to man up and go to 6 inches.
Do you remember that Guardians of the Galaxy pack that they were selling at Walmart?
Oh, yeah. This is the slap in the face to the 3 3/4-inch collectors this time around. Well, because, great, they repacked them in the Infinities line, the Infinites line.
Yeah, it wasn't just a Walmart pack. It's an old 3-pack.
Team pack, yeah.
That just was sitting at Walmart's forever.
It was. It was right before they had announced that they were going to release the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. And I remember they had 10 of those things. You know, they'd be flying off the shelves right now.
You pass on for $16 on clearance, but how about $10 each individually? That's kind of the thinking at Hasbro.
Yeah, but those are the comic-based ones that just weren't quite the same, and they didn't give us a good Groot. You know, I heard they were doing Rocket and Groot and got all excited, and then Justin rained on my parade and was like, you know, it's a repack of the old potted Groot. No!
Yeah, they missed an opportunity there. You know, even Thor 2 got some support in that scale.
What'll be interesting to see is, do they move forward with this 2.5-inch? I like the vehicles. I agree with Arnie there. I think that's, if you're going to do vehicles, that's the perfect scale to do them in. Maybe you don't have to do them in 3 3/4 if you do a 3 3/4-inch figures. But are they going to continue forward with this 2.5-inch figure line? Because I don't think it sold the way they thought it was going to. And I have to agree, I was disappointed that we didn't have any 3 3/4 figures to go after.
I would assume, because of the money it made and the popularity that they, you know, they were able to take these Z characters, I wouldn't even call them D or B characters, these Z characters, and make them top of the line, that I don't think they're going to have this misstep when Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes out. I think we are going to get our figures next time around.
Oh, there's going to be an onslaught of Guardians merchandise for the second one. And it's going to be to the point where we're so sick of looking at Guardian stuff, because I think that they realized they missed it this time.
I'm going to be the naysayer in that regard. I think we need to look very closely at what they do with Avengers Age of Ultron and see that as a pattern for what they'll probably do for Guardians 2. And the fact that at New York Toy Fair, all we saw were some Legends figures for Age of Ultron. It just stands to reason the first Avengers film made $1 billion. Yeah, Guardians made a lot of money, but it didn't make $1 billion. I mean, it, Avengers made enough to make Dr. Evil happy. So you've got to see if there's going to be an onslaught, it's going to be for that movie. But look what they followed up Avengers with. I can't even bring myself to remember the name of those awful Iron Man 3 armor figures with the pop-on.
Assemblers?
Yeah, the Iron Man 3 assemblers. And then they followed up with just a few Thor figures. I'm very curious to see, because if 3¾ action figures have outpriced what kids will buy, I think that Hasbro is experimenting to find an action figure scale and price point that can be successful. And so let's see what happens and what we see at Toy Fair come February. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see just few 3¾-inch action figures and they go 5 point of articulation or 2.5 inch. Probably just 5 point of articulation, because I don't see a whole lot of vehicles coming out of Age of Ultron. But maybe we'll see things like the Spider Strike figures for 3¾ for Age of Ultron and then have some good Legend support.
Well, that's where the Infinites line is going. I mean, from the new ones that we've seen, those are cut articulation. They're not necessarily 5 POA, but they're definitely not super articulated like their predecessors.
Some of them aren't that far off. I mean, that Great Beast, that's got to be, what, 6 at most?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing. I think that, especially in a line that you're saying is aimed at collectors, that you're going to cut the articulation down that far. Now, I'm not an articulation junkie where everything has to move, but if I'm going to pay that much money for a figure, I do want it to be able to move more than 5 or 6 points.
I'm really not happy with what they've shown for the Marvel Infinite series for next year. The Sandman that's made from existing tooling looks really great, but that Beast and the Bishop and the Vulture, they all look really awful to me. If anything, that feels like the death knell for Marvel Infinite series more than anything else to me.
And the fact that when they first announced the Infinite series, that it was supposed to be a continuation of the Marvel Universe figures, which I think we could all agree on were universally welcomed and liked, that they're not continuing that going forward, or maybe for the near future, is kind of, you know, a little disappointing.
Well, let's look forward a little bit. I mean, we do have next year. It's a lighter year for Marvel movies. There's only 3. And of course, the big one is going to be Age of Ultron. What do you guys expect for collectibles in that regard? What do you hope we see from Hasbro at Toy Fair?
Hulkbuster Build-A-Figure.
Yes.
I have that on my sheet here, exclamation pointed several times. If they don't do that as the Build-A-Figure, they're going to miss the mark completely.
From Hasbro, just to get a new movie Vision, a new movie Ultron, maybe a classic Vision, Hulkbuster Iron Man would be great, but I'm really hoping for Hulkbuster Iron Man from Diamond Select, because that needs to be a huge figure and super detailed, and that seems more like Diamond Select's thing to me for Hulkbuster Iron Man, and I'm sure that since they like to put out as many Hulks as possible and as many Iron Mans as possible, there's no way that they're going to pass up combining the two and giving us a really great Hulkbuster Iron Man.
I never thought about it. Somebody at Diamond Select Toys Marketing is like, it's Hulk on Iron Man. Genius.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to have a lot of work to do with the existing heroes. I mean, the more we see of the suit Iron Man is wearing in this, it looks like it's just a repaint of the Mark 42. And Thor is Thor. I don't know. It might give him one sleeve or two sleeves or no sleeves in this one. So they might have a pretty easy time just repainting existing stuff for those guys. So I'm hoping they do go for some of the new movie stuff, like was mentioned. Vision, Ultron is going to be awesome. And we know Tony's not only going to wear one suit. He's going to debut yet another mark at some point other than the Hulkbuster.
Hot Toys is licking their chops on that one.
Let's hope not. I mean, has anyone kept count? Because I honestly have not. But they've got to be close to, they've got to have done over 30 of the 42 at this point. I just can't keep up if they do that, and if they keep doing it in the movies. I really actually want Robert Downey Jr. to retire so they can stop.
They're never going to stop.
He's never going to retire. He's already signed up for Cap 3. He's going to be around forever.
What about Ant-Man? Can Ant-Man possibly compete in the year of Age of Ultron coming out just a few months later? Are we still going to be on an Avengers high at that point where Ant-Man becomes an afterthought?
You know, you had mentioned earlier how you thought Guardians of the Galaxy was going to be the biggest flop, and I don't think anybody would have disagreed with you on that statement when you stated that. It's very hard for me to think that Ant-Man is going to be that big unless they take the opportunity to introduce the next wave of movies, you know, maybe a Doctor Strange appearance or to set up for Infinity Gauntlet or something like that, where they have to make that movie relevant. It can't be a Iron Man 3 movie where it's kind of like a standalone thing. They're going to have to be able to incorporate that somehow with the next phase of Marvel movies. And it is going to be interesting to see. I mean, Paul Rudd, I mean, either you like him or you don't. He's not like the kind of guy who has a really huge fan base. I mean, he may. I mean, Marjorie may like him, but
first of all, as a man, you have to admit he's a very handsome man.
Okay. But
he has a huge fan base. You've got the Anchorman.
I love Paul Rudd.
But I have not seen those movies. And, you know, he's okay actor. You know, I don't know if he has the star power to have a standalone movie is what I'm saying. I think that Ant-Man is going to have to be incorporated into the next phase to be successful.
I haven't really heard much talk about Ant-Man figures coming out for next year at all yet. Not even Funko has said anything about Ant-Man pop vinyls. And we've already heard about the Age of Ultron pop vinyls. I would assume Funko is going to give us at least a classic Ant-Man vinyl figure, but other than that, I haven't heard a whole lot. Disney has their Vinylmation Ant-Man coming out the day after Christmas this year. They're doing bind boxes, limited edition 2500 with 2250 Hank Pym Ant-Man in the bind boxes and 250 Scott Lang. But other than that, I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about Ant-Man, and I haven't heard a lot of people saying that they're really interested. Not even when Guardians was coming up, there was a lot of ridicule for Guardians and people saying it had a tree and a raccoon and they thought it was going to be terrible. But for Ant-Man, I haven't even heard anything like that. I just haven't heard anybody talking about it at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think about collectibles and I think of so much I want to see out of Avengers. You know, I think of all the Hot Toys. Of course, Hot Toys is going to do every Avenger again and Ultron and maybe a couple of the Ultron background character drones and whatnot.
And their housekeeper and their gardener.
And all the Iron Man armors that appear and maybe some that don't.
And the guy that delivered the pizza to them on Tuesday, but not the guy who delivered Chinese food on Thursday, because that's a little bit much.
And Rhino, and he's not even in Avengers. But I don't know what I want out of Ant-Man. I kind of feel like Ant-Man is going to be like Thor. Like they'll release maybe a re-release of that Ant-Man figure in the Infinities line. Maybe they'll pull out that old Giant Man Ant-Man pack as a exclusive to Toys R Us or something, do a repaint. But I really feel like from a collectible standpoint, this is going to be our Thor the Dark World. We're going to get a couple of toys, maybe a couple 5POA figures, maybe an Ant-Man helmet for little kids to wear, you know, an Ant-Man mask. And that'll be probably all I expect.
Or you could use your mom's metal colander and have the same effect as Ant-Man's helmet, I think.
Yeah, is anybody jazzed about Ant-Man's costume? Really? I mean, I know they made Star-Lord's mask work, which was amazing because the mask is really stupid looking, but it was really awesome in the movie. But Ant-Man's costume is no Captain America costume. I'll tell you that right now.
I was hoping they'd lean a little bit more classic on that than they did.
Do you guys expect there to be toys for Daredevil? I mean, the Netflix streaming series starts in May, right around the time of Avengers in theaters.
See, that's where I feel like there's going to be just kind of a toy pass. You know, Ant-Man, I can see them doing some stuff, not going crazy. But I think for the made-for-Netflix stuff, I think that's just going to be roundly ignored. There's too many other properties coming down the pipe for them to worry about that and Doctor Strange. Same way they don't worry about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. You know, we don't see anything supporting that in the toy lines.
What are they going to have for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? A bunch of people in suits? And
keep in mind, they are doing an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 3-pack. Around the time of Avengers 2, we're going to get our Coulson, our Maria Hill.
Oh, very true. Very true. But those are movie versions. I'm pretending anyway.
Just buy a Men in Black figures and then you got your Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. figures.
I did do that, but these are 6-inch.
And dare I speak of Fantastic Four? I actually put in the notes, try not to laugh. And what does everybody do?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So wait, is it actually happening?
Oh, it's happening.
It's already happened. Haven't you read the script leaks? Come on.
That one might actually do worse than Ant-Man.
I honestly think this one will be the least expensive Marvel movie of the decade for me, because not only is this thing really just all the internet buzz is how terrible it's going to be. I understand that Mr. Fantastic and the Thing are like Randall and Dante. They work as clerks at a convenience store.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
What?
Wait till he tells you what Doom is.
And Doom is, I think they should rewrite it. Doom could be the hacker who broke into Sony. But Doom is, yes, a hacker.
You Fox. Oh. You know,
this is turning into that late 80s, early 90s Fantastic Four fiasco. Oh,
no. That one at least was comic accurate.
Yeah.
This is like the Fantastic Four for new kids. Like, people 20 years younger than all of us guys.
You knew this was happening when it was the director of Chronicle, right? I mean, I understand there are people who love Chronicle, and I just may be too old for Chronicle. Maybe I'm too old for this new Fantastic Four thing.
I don't think you're going to... I think we're all too old, and even the too young are too young for that. I mean, it's going to be a disaster. Let's just all agree. It's going to be a disaster. Maybe not, you know? Maybe not. Who knows? But, I mean, can it get any worse than the Silver Surfer? The Rise of the Silver Surfer?
Which was actually better than the one before it.
Oh, I think it's going to be way worse.
I'm with Justin on that one.
Maybe it's the new Rocky Horror.
Oh, I would love it to be so bad that it's good, but I don't think it's even going to be that.
Well, I'm just looking at the bright side. Because it's a Fox film, at least they won't make Hot Toys.
Maybe the costumes and the special effects and the ships and the locales will be so awesome, we'll forget about all the rest.
And then we'll all have a good laugh when Johnny Storm becomes Captain America again in a few years. Which actually he could do if they went the Marvel Now way. You know, how Falcon became Cap. Never mind.
But Anthony Mackie would be pissed. He's lined up for that.
He better become a better actor if he's going to become Captain America.
Well, I think the last movie collectible topic we have to talk about when we look back at 2015 is the Play Imaginative toys we all ordered.
You suckers.
Okay, guys. I actually called Play Imaginative this last week. Because we understand that they were supposed to be shipping. You know, they keep it's like they're holding that carrot out in front of us. We're all mules and we're mushing, you know, or that's dogs, but they're holding that carrot out in front of us so we won't get our refunds, or they really want us to actually switch it to another figure that's being released. So I called them and I said, hey man, you know, what's going on? They're very nice when you call them. You don't have to wait too long. They're very nice. They know exactly who you are once they see your phone number comes up. And I said, I understand that the Iron Patriot is supposed to be shipping this month. And he just had a set response. I mean, he must be answering people's questions all day. Basically, he said that it's not their fault, of course. It's the manufacturer's fault. And he is not confident that that thing is going to ship anytime soon.
Neither am I. And I don't even work there.
So I went ahead and just switched my order to the War Machine that is shipping this month. And hopefully I will get it. And he still said that I will not get that before Christmas. It'll be coming in January, February. And he didn't sound that confident with that. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Play Imaginative. They're very nice people, but the manufacturers that they're dealing with are not being held accountable. And they're going to suffer the consequences.
What version of War Machine are you getting? Iron Man 2 version or the Iron Man 3 version?
I did not ask.
It's the
Iron Man 3 version, yeah.
It's the off-screen version.
Yeah, because didn't they show, they showed an Iron Man 2 version of War Machine too?
They've shown everything, and they've made one thing.
Yeah, and I bought this 2013 for Ernie's birthday, which we are now in 2014, approaching his birthday in 2015.
You bought it way back when Arnie was in his 30s.
I did buy it when my husband was in his 30s.
It'll ship when I'm in my 50s. But look at the bright side. That $100 you spent is going to be worth nothing when I'm in my 50s.
That's true.
So he would have gotten quite a bargain.
Well, I talked to the guy, Jason, who is their PR contact, because he really wants us to cover their stuff, ironically.
We do. We really do.
Well, He told me that I could still get you something for your birthday in 2014. If I wanted to spend $600 more, I could get you one of the quarter scale ones.
Hey, if he'd like us to cover it, he could just send us a review copy of that quarter scale one.
And yeah, that was the only one that was going to ship. And
two review copies.
Yes, I needed to go to my other studio as well, sir. But he can't tell me when the Iron Patriot's going to ship at all, other than they're having some delays in manufacturing. And I think he told you that they learned their lesson not to show stuff before it's ready. Well, maybe don't sell stuff before it's ready, jerk.
Wait, stop the presses. Hold on. I have a Marvelous exclusive. I have a hands-on review of the Play Imaginative Iron Patriot. Hang on. Here is. This is me taking my wallet out. Here's the money from it. There we go. And you people never learn. Cut ties with these people.
Well, they told me if I was unsure that I wanted to keep the pre-order open, I could get a refund, but they couldn't guarantee I'd get one when they actually did ship.
At this point, our great-great-grandchildren are going to receive a toy from the 21st century and be like, what the hell is this? I will pass this along. This will not die with me.
Listen. This toy is perfectly named. It's a toy in your imagination.
Yeah, just imagine that you have this.
It can't break, the paint can't chip, the articulation will never loosen. It's the best.
And it's not going to take up space in my basement.
You know what?
It will take up space in your bank account, though.
Yeah, they got your money, and you got your imagination.
Yeah, I think the most he offered was like 10% off, too.
Well, this whole fiasco has done one thing. It made me give FiguArts another $80, because they announced theirs well after Play Imaginative, and I was like, well, that looks good, but I'm not going to get the Iron Patriot. I already have one coming in that scale. And then that was 7 months of a pre-order, and then they're shipping, and now they're out. And it's like, you know what? After this last round of news, I'm like, I'm going to keep my pre-order, but in the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and get that FiguArts version.
So I'm going to stay engaged to the virgin who won't sleep with me till we're married. But in the meantime, if there happens to be a slutty girl around...
I still want to track down that Iron Man or that War Machine from FiguArts that Jeff reviewed last year. That thing looks awesome.
Yeah, and going for a pretty penny anymore, too.
Yeah, I saw that on Amazon.
Okay, so I counted up all of the Hot Toys Iron Man 3 figures that we've either got up for order or released, and it looks like 20 out of the 42 are up for order or released now. Plus, we know Blue Steel is coming, so that's 21. So we're about halfway there to the 42, or about $6,000 away from having them all.
Oh, now, wait a sec, though. Are you only counting the Iron Man 3 releases? Because March 1 through 7 are previous movies that didn't actually appear in Iron Man 3.
I'm counting marks 1 through 7 as 7 of the 21 that are on the way.
They did too appear. They got blown up. They're in the Hall of Armor.
Oh, that's right. They did. So they've really only done 14 ancillary armors. It seems like so much more than that.
Yeah, it seems like so much more to me too, but apparently they've only done like 14 of them so far.
Hmm.
Wow, that's depressing.
But we got that Striker up for order today, and they'll repaint that in green next year. So that'll be Gamma. So then we'll be up to 22 of the 42.
It will never end.
No, the question is Iron Man going to lose his luster before they get them all out?
Well, a lot of those are just repaints in there. So I think they're kind of being careful about not doing so many repaints right away to make you feel like, I just bought this one in blue.
And what are those, $300 a pop?
Well, it depends. The Igor and things get up a little higher.
It just amazes me that people are willing to pay $300 a pop for each one of those.
You're talking to one of them.
Two of them.
Where are you going to display them all?
In the Hall of Armor, right? That foam Hall of Armor casings?
The beer coolers.
Debeed, did you get the Hall of Armor set up from Sideshow?
I did not get the Hall of Armor. I don't have a place for that yet. I might eventually add that on. At first, I was really excited about the Play Imaginative ones because I was like, this is great. Like, I can just get these for $100 each, and then I can have the 42 armors and have all my favorites like Jack and Disco, and I won't have to get the Hot Toys. But those are never coming. So I've been buying the Hot Toys ones instead, and at the rate that we're going, Hot Toys may get out all 42 before Iron Patriot makes it from Play Imaginative.
And that will be the day that I cancel my order.
Well, on that note, thank you all for joining us. Now, this whole crew is going to be back again in 2 weeks as we start looking at the non-movie-based toys. We've kind of hinted around about a bit, but the Infinite Series 3¾-inch figures, the Marvel Legends, the Funko Pops, Legos, and more.
So all of that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2014, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
The Black Widow I had to have, she was very hard to find at first, and people were paying exorbitant, people were paying high amounts of money for that figure.
Ebony, 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 ebony.
I've learned to correct my, if it's not working, just go somewhere else with it.
Oh, man. When I actually bought that Amazing Spider-Man figure, I have a friend of mine in New York who, through whatever goodness of his own heart, he signed me up through about maybe 10 different Toys R Us names for the birthday club. So occasionally I get a postcard in the mail for, like, you know, Clark Kent or Bruce Wayne, and it's, you know, inside is a birthday card. So I took this particular one, and it was like $5 off or something, and I bought Spider-Man. I just happened to have with me the Peter Parker card. So the look the clerk gave me was kind of priceless.
Yeah, for me, I mean,
I think it's because Justin lives in one of those moonshine states.
I do?
No, he lives in a meth state.
Oh, okay.
I live next door to a meth state.
He lives with the Children of the Corn.
That's right.
And where goats wear sweaters. There was a goat on the news with a Christmas sweater that was in Omaha.
Still looking for the owner, by the way, but I'll keep you updated.
It's a Japan issue. I mean, it's more
the Japanese
overall
have big ankles. It's just,
yeah. You know, go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead. Make your joke.
Oh. Okay.
Admit, I was wrong. I thought this could be Marvel's first misstep. How wrong I was.
No, it's going to be Winter Pam.
Winter
Marvel's bus people.
I don't know. That might be do better than Ant-Man. We'll see.
But Ant-Man's being directed by the guy who directed Bring It On. That is a fantastic movie, guys.
Bring It On. Oh, my goodness.
I'm just waiting for the Ant-Man car wash scene where...
Yeah, what does he sit, like 8 or 9 inches high?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I haven't measured him recently, but...
Back in high school, he was 8 or 9 inches.
I mean, if you measure him from the trunk...
I thought you were waiting to say, you know, on a cold day, that's probably the size he is.